I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This little guy's loving it, aren't you, little guy?
There's nothing sexual about it.
We won't need a blanket. I'm furry.
You can hear red through everything.
Leave it! Get your hands off!
I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it. I'm not touching it.
How are your accommodations?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Well, I've fallen for your trap.
Oh no, Red, sorry.
If I could sculpt, I would sculpt you.
He misread it as bum bomb.
What a singing voice, too. This guy is the whole package.
It is good to see you, friend. Uncle. Cousin.
What is his name? Cousin? He's my cousin, right?
Cousin.
It is good to see you, friend. Cousin.
Friend uncle is just a colloquialism down here.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 71, Dig In.
MVP this week is Alice N. They've just caught up on Discord and posted a picture of their new mushroom friend to celebrate. Thanks for joining us, Alice N.
Thanks, Alice N. And Happy New Year to everybody. It's 2024. There's lots more Dice Shame coming through your door. So don't worry. We're here to... I don't have any more rhymes.
I liked it very much.
I did my best.
Should we play some D&D?
Let's do it.
You're in a dark alley.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Oh god.
I like where this is going.
I'm DMing now. That's the
roll for
your podcast is mine.
You're in a dark alley and you can encounter either a ghost or an alien, but you know it's the real deal. Which would you pick?
Ghost.
Great question.
Yeah. Two of us just went ghost immediately.
I'm also saying ghost.
I don't want to meet an alien. Jesus.
I'm going to hold my answer until you guys give reasons why you're choosing ghost.
Well, okay. I mean, a bit of this is like not because the alternate. You know what I mean? Like if an alien confronts you in a dark alley, my logic is they're there for a reason. If a ghost confronts you in a dark alley, you might have just walked down the wrong alley.
Ghost,
you
know, is like, he's taking like a whiz, man. He's
at least in sort of the understood lore, typically like haunt a place. They don't really follow a person. But if an alien's there, it wants you, motherfucker. Oh, it ain't from this planet by definition.
It followed you there.
I mean, I think that there's just as much reason then for that to be a completely arbitrary location for the alien.
Is it a space alley?
Yeah, where's the alley?
Like, I'd go the opposite.
I feel like I'd be more concerned if I was like on like Tatooine and a ghost walked over. I'd be like, oh no.
Yeah, I would pick an alien if I was on Tatooine, is what I'm saying.
Listen, the coolest thing I can say in this situation is ghost, because then that means there is an afterlife and maybe I could be a ghost one time.
Whoa,
you know?
You took a way smarter approach than I did.
It really comes down to the question of like, do you want to know if there's an afterlife or do you want to know if there is like life outside of our planet, which is basically where I was approaching.
You guys went totally different than me.
Exactly. Mm.
I went purely like, that's so funny how the mind works though. You two went like, well, obviously this indicates a bigger thing. And I was just like, it does indicate a bigger thing. Whether they fucking want you. Like, whether they're there for you.
It was really personal to you at that point. It would just became this alien.
Of course it is, because I'm the one walking down the alley.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it differently than Harlan. The same sort of vein, like, I'm going to say I want to see the alien because that means he's coming to see me. And that must be something pretty important.
He's probably got some kind of present for me.
He's like, you must be the leader of the mankind or the humankind.
Yeah.
Or
Alex is just pissing in the alley.
Huh? Why do they talk like someone from fucking New Brunswick?
No, but realistically, regardless of like reason or regardless of what it may indicate, you know, afterlife or otherwise, I still think I'd probably prefer to meet a ghost because, I don't know, there's something really interesting about, you know, what they would have to say. There would be so much confirmed denial. Like, it would be the same with aliens, obviously, but there's such a broader idea of what an alien could be, as previously discussed. Whoa, whereas ghost... You know, it's like, oh, so you are bound to a place. Oh, you are corporeal. Oh, you are made of ectoplasm. I don't know. It'd be really cool to kind of have that.
Both invite a lot of questions about the nature of the world we're living in, right?
Totally.
To know that there are ghosts, then that must work some way. And there's an avenue of inquiry to figure out, like, how the fuck do ghosts work? Why ghosts? What happened? You know, right?
Yeah.
What if it's a ghost alien?
Here's the issue I'm running into. So I prefer ghost in this situation.
All
but
right. Okay.
I think that if I were to come across a ghost, I would have a lot more trouble convincing people of my experience than if I were to meet an alien because
really?
Of a ghost's intangible quality, right? I think meeting a ghost would mean more for me personally. Because it's probably going to be like, hi, Joe, goodbye, and just fly away or something. But
the ghost
an
is
alien
like,
is going to
caught me off guard.
An alien is going to have more to
say,
more substantial in terms of what it would mean for the rest of the planet, I think. If like the number of people who are like, yeah, I met a ghost one time. Like, I mean, there's hundreds, thousands. Hundreds of thousands of people who have that experience. And I would just be then counting myself
like,
among
No. But this was real. Like, I shook their hand.
But I think if I met an alien, I would take the alien's hand and be like, I gotta show you to some people. Like, we're going into that bar over there, alien. And you're gonna have to go on TV and
so
stuff.
So, you know, there's a trap I think my mind is falling into.
Oh, I like mind traps.
It kind of reflects back to, like... You guys know the end of The Watchmen? I'm going to spoil the end of The Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. I love The Watchmen.
There's a manufactured crisis for humanity, and the author's premise is it's going to bring us all together so we quit destroying the planet. And I think if anything the last couple of years have taught us is that like humanity's ability to ignore an actual crisis or an actual world-changing event
is unparalleled.
Yeah. And so there was my mind was like, well, if you met a ghost and knew with certainty – that that was a real actual phenomenon. You could do something about it. It's a real phenomenon that's unexplained, and there is an opportunity to go try and explain it. Not everybody would do that. There's probably people today who are certain that they have met ghosts and aren't doing anything about it in a way that
if I met a ghost, I wouldn't tell anyone.
Why?
Because I don't feel like sharing it. I would just know
you
it.
You wouldn't tell Andy?
I'd tell Andy. That'd be it. I'd tell Andy.
So either Andy's no one.
Yeah. Well, he's a blabbermouth.
Andy
doesn't count.
Andy doesn't count.
You're going to say Andy doesn't count.
Andy, I met a ghost.
Yeah, and he'd be
and
like.
It showed me its dick. Sorry.
Patrick Swayze.
Did you say sorry?
I met a ghost. I'm leaving you.
Why wouldn't you tell anybody?
I don't know. I just, my immediate reaction would be like, I don't know if I'd tell. I'd wait till like right before I die. And then I'd be like, by the way, there's an ad. And just
see you soon.
Just so that if I come back, then people are like, damn, she was right. Mm. But
so, I mean, also, let's go the hard friend angle for a second. Okay.
Okay.
Let's say this is a pleasant alien or ghost. If you like them, the ghost is probably going to be more likely to stick around. Whereas the alien is like, okay, cool. Bye. You know what I mean? Like, but there's going to be a more limited time with the alien versus the ghost. By definition, ghosts are probably going to hang around for a long time.
I wouldn't tell anyone if I saw an alien either.
Maybe I want a friendly ghost.
I think it gets into the specifics of the fiction that we're talking about, because an alien got here somehow. There are lots of challenges to doing that. That means it would now be possible to overcome with certainty. We would know, right? Versus we're never going to step on another planet, or we're never going to meet another creature. Like,
yeah,
right now there's a lot of question marks about that. And to have the certainty of like, no, it is possible. The idealist in me feels like, well, that could drive something. And then the realist in me reflects and is like, well, maybe not though.
I also think too, it depends on like what kind of alien it is. Like, am I meeting like Stitch? Or like Nibbler? Or am I meeting the aliens from Fire in the Sky? Because if I'm meeting those guys, I'm definitely going to just fight them in an alleyway until I win. And if I meet like Nibbler or Stitch or like an adorable little guy, I'm going to be like, what if we were buds? And then they'll eat me or do whatever. But
all those stories end the same way. And it's, we need to take this alien back to its planet.
Yes. Get him out of here. I don't want them. get this guy out of here.
Bye, friend.
Or what if they're like aliens from Star Trek? Hi, my name is Soflog. I'm from the planet Kalapatu. It's just like a guy with a mark on his face. Perfect English every time.
I feel like recognizing that there are aliens out there and having met one would fuck you up forever, because you would never, ever be able to do anything about perpetuating that personally. But if there was a ghost that you met one time, there's a possibility, since they would be living on this planet or unliving, I don't know.
You do share the planet with
them. That you'd at least be able to like maybe summon one or hang out. Yeah.
I think the scariest part, if I were to meet a ghost, the most scary part would be
after you did the
the requisite stuttering.
Do your bones jump out of your body and then back in?
Would be that's right. The ghost like punched me or caused me physical harm, because then I would never be able to sleep again. I'd be like,
I got punched by a fucking ghost.
But I guess my point is, it would answer the question.
A ghost would be if it punched.
But it would answer the question. Could a ghost injure you? Right? Because, if you're...
Look out, he's got a gun.
You're wandering through an abandoned warehouse, okay, with friends, right?
Oh my God,
right?
The ghost has a machete.
And you're like, I think it's haunted, right? But you're always telling yourself, well, they're ghosts, they can't hurt me, right? But as soon as you find out that actually, yeah, they could connect, you know? Like, what's to stop you from being strangled by a ghost, right? Because that's the worst fear. Just seeing it wouldn't be that scary.
It is the worst feeling.
And that's how ghosts kill.
But it's
strangle.
Yeah, that's not the question. Like, there are things on Earth that could kill you way faster than it takes a ghost to do a thing.
Maybe
a human.
Not,
you're
though,
in a dark alley.
Rob.
Ghost, alien, or crocodile.
I mean, you
how do you
risk
know?
Death
how do you
crossing
know,
the
Rob?
Road every day. You could be hit by a bus tomorrow.
And be a ghost and strangle Alex.
Yeah, but a bus can't.
Just as likely as if alien ghosts were real and are going to strangle you because you pissed that ghost off.
But a bus or a car,
Rob,
they don't come kill you in your sleep.
Do you know how many people per year get strangled by ghosts?
I guess I don't.
It might be more than people who die
it
in
might
cars.
Be more. We just don't know.
At
if
least
four.
Oh, he died of cardiac arrest.
Clearly, Alex Nersal wouldn't tell anybody, nope. So maybe people get ghosts and get strangled.
What if every time someone dies from natural causes, it's actually unnatural causes?
Oh, it's actually a ghost squeezing their heart.
Ever think about that?
Supernatural that's causes. Right.
Right. There are ghosts in Dungeons and Dragons, but are there aliens?
Yeah, that's a good segue right there.
Yes, there are. Githyanki.
Yeah.
Depends on what our DM feels like doing.
Should we see if there's ghosts in this episode of Dice Shine?
I am Clyborg, the dwarf from outer space.
Yeah, let's play D&D.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
What's that sound?
Dog.
A ghost dog. Deep underneath thousands of tons of rock, inside the roots of the Grey Peak Mountains, the lovely manor of Gautier Brighthelm is dug in, carved high up on a cavern wall overlooking the glowing town of Scarborough, splayed out on the floor of the cavern like pearls of light spilled from a bag of holding. Having been introduced to Gautier and briefly chatted with, you are led down a hallway which branches off into several closed chambers. Mari, you're given your own room, with a human-sized four-post bed and a large washtub in one corner, the stone around which is somehow pleasantly heated to stand on. A lever looks likely to, once pulled, dispense hot water into the tub, though it smells lightly of minerals. Jack, Red, and Alistair, you're given the room opposite Mari. There's just one giant bed in the middle with a pile of cushions and blankets and stuff, and two wardrobes on one wall, though all the furniture is sized for dwarves. Doran, you're given the room at the end of the hall, a master dwarven suite with an ensuite washroom and also a private sitting area. The stone floors in your chambers are layered with carpets, and there's a fireplace at the foot of the bed. All of you are given some time to be in your own chambers to make yourselves presentable before dinner.
You want to sleep like head to toe, Jack, or you want to sleep head to head, or back to back, or back to front,
you know,
or front to front.
Whatever you feel good about.
Well, I mean, whatever you feel good about.
Yeah,
Alistair just walks to the bed and lies down right in the middle. Starfish style.
Oh god, he's still the same.
Yeah,
but really, I mean, I don't mind if you want.
No, it's great. Dwarven style. Know. When in right. Scarborough, right. Do as the Scarboroughians yeah. do.
So face to face, then.
Well, I guess with Alistair in the middle.
Yeah. Well, we don't want. I mean, and Red leans closer, and you can smell like the fish on his breath, and he's like, I feel more comfortable being next to you. We've known each other longer.
Well, we could. We'll squeeze on one side or the other of them then. We'll
squeeze together on one side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. We won't need a blanket. I'm furry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Right.
I'll go wash up. Red walks to the basin in the corner and starts slathering water. And the water is like quickly turning brown with like all the mud and dirt from his paws.
Oh, no.
Gonna need another one of these.
Hopefully they got lots of running water for us then.
Jack, there's still a little myconid sitting on your shoulder.
Yeah, in a lovely little bowl of dirt, you know, with some of the best compost I could find on short notice.
You're welcome. Don't ask me where I got it.
Listen, that bag of holding is incredible. The stuff you'll find in there.
Yeah, bag of holding.
And Red winks at Alistair.
Hope he doesn't smell it.
Alistair just looks back at you very confused.
This little guy's loving it, aren't you, little guy?
Yeah, the myconid's like wiggling his little rump down into the compost, like getting real nice and situated. And he kind of like bows at you a little bit.
I will bow back in myconid fashion and find him a lovely dark shelf to set him on for a second.
Eh, all washed up. Red comes back, flicking water from his hands all over the wooden floor.
Just a good shake.
Wonder what Mari's doing.
Mari, what are you doing?
She sort of, like, you know, goes in and closes the door. And for the first time in what feels like a while, she's just by herself, like, in a little space like this. And, like, for the first little bit, she starts, like, she's just puttering around and sort of sorting through her things and trying to clean stains off of her jacket and everything. And it's weird because she's now gotten kind of used to being with the others. So there's this, like, kind of oddness in her head as she tries to figure out what to do next.
You can still hear, like, the dull chatter of Red through three stone
You can
walls.
Hear Red through everything. He could be on a different floor, and I would still eventually hear, like,
I could be on a different plane of existence.
And she decides to take a bath because she's feeling gross, and it's been a while.
Nice.
And while she's doing that, she can sort of still hear those guys kind of puttering around. She finds the locket of want in her bag. And she sort of, like, looks at it and then decides to pop it open and take a look at what's inside.
Mari, it's been a couple of days since you've examined this magical item closely. And as you look deep into the locket, you are shown your heart's desire.
When she looks into it, there's this moment where she can see herself and she's back in amongst the stars and everything in that space that she was in when she decided to go and bring Alistair back. And in this moment, everything is clear. Like, this, there's this ability to pick the constellations out and to make things work. And there's this strength in her magic that she didn't have at the time, and this incredible clarity. And as she does this, she can also start to find other little pieces of constellations in there as well. And she can start to find those pieces of her friends. And even though this magic would never work, it's impossible, she can bring those things back. And it feels good again. But before anything can really kind of, like, settle in her brain, before she can feel those emotions, everything sort of starts to fade, and this anxiety creeps in to the back of her, where she's having this stress about screwing the spell up, of messing that up, of bringing Alistair back, and of seeing Jack's magic not work. And everything sort of starts to fall apart in the back of her brain as she starts to sort of panic, and she snaps it shut.
You realize that the water around you is starting to grow cold, and the locket in your hand is pulsating with this warmth. It's unclear to you how long you've sat here looking into its depths. Doran, what are you doing?
The scene transitions to Doran's master dwarf suite.
Mm-hmm.
Nice ambient lighting. A cushy, big, comfortable bed built for many dwarves to pile upon one another. And you hear the echoey reverberation from the ensuite bathroom, some long overdue flatulence.
Okay.
Moments later, Doran returns to the bedroom area of his suite.
It's not what I expected.
Some privacy.
Doran, you're taking a shit. I thought you were going to say that Mari was using your bathroom.
That's amazing.
Fuck, I don't know what that was.
You guys never get to a nice hotel room and you're like, oh man, I can't wait to take a shit in this thing.
Well, we broke Rob. Episode over.
You haven't had time to shit in peace for, like, months.
Cody's mostly shit. Jesus Christ.
Doran stands at the foot of his bed looking on, and he says, wow, this is really too much. And he sort of shakes his head and goes back to the wash basin in the corner of the room, and thinking of the way that Gautier had presented himself all nice and clean, Doran, looking at himself in the mirror, thought he'd probably clean himself up a bit in order to be a little bit more presentable for the rest of the dinner party.
Cool.
He's, like, wringing his beard out. It's like, yeah.
Try to run a comb through your hair a little bit.
It's all, when he comes down, there's, like, bits of broken comb.
Yeah. But when he does come down, you know, I think it's all sort of a little bit, you're all a little taken aback by how well Doran has actually cleaned himself up. You know, he's even gone as far as washing the smudged dirt off of his leather bracers. And
those were cream colored?
It's like a Beauty and the Beast moment here. Like, it just has that like awkward energy, but...
There's like beard balm that's sitting beside the wash basin that's like formulated for dwarven beard hairs, you know?
And
like
the advertisement on the side of his leg, you know, fresh from the springs of the Grey Peak oil reserve or something. Grease pits.
He misread it as bum balm and he like his butt.
It's bum polish to make sure that red really shines. If it...
Dorn cleans himself up.
I feel like you hear a knock on the door of your suite, Dorn. And as you come, you hear just like the echoes of arguing.
Because I want to touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Leave it. I'm leaving it.
Get your hands off. My hands are off.
Oh.
You open the door and Red's like tried to comb his hair by himself, but it also looks really matted. And Jack is like trying to fix this cow-licked portion that's like stuck up right at the back like alfalfa.
It's a style. Stop it.
I appreciate. Listen, I've seen it. It fits right in Waterdeep.
Oh, hey, Doran. Red pushes in past you, Dorn, and he's like, wow, look at these digs. Why did you get such a big room? Is that an orgy bed?
Well, what?
Dwargy bed.
No, this is a dwarf bed. I told you, they're all big and everybody sleeps together.
A dwarven orgy bed?
No, there's nothing sexual about it, Red. How are your accommodations?
Excellent.
Smaller than this.
Uh-huh. Very comfortable.
Mari, you coming?
Oh, yeah, and Mari sort of sticks her head out, and she's actually like... pulled her hair up into like an actual hairstyle for once. Like,
it's wow.
See, I love the idea that she's got the same style as Red. And then I'm like, ah. And then when I turn around, you're like, oh God. And you like put it down.
Yeah.
She's got like her hair in like a lovely bun. She's got it like pulled up and she's
beautiful.
Yeah. She's pulled out like a, she has like a different shirt that she's pulled out made of like this like very, very deep blue silk.
Nice.
Shall we head down for dinner? It smells bland.
Yeah. Mm.
The bland stew is not canonical dwarven fare for all meals.
No.
That's just festival.
It is in Red's mind. And he's trying to be supportive by pretending that he smells bland stew.
It's certainly our understanding of dwarven food up until...
Yeah.
And Dorn corrects Red. And he says, oh no, Red, sorry. You think you smell bland stew, but you won't find it anywhere except for how my mother makes it at home.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doran. You must be so
sad. During the great receiving. That's not what I'm... My point is, you're not smelling bland stew. Let's just go down for dinner.
Oh, you're right. I'm smelling really good stew. Yeah. I'm like nodding to Jack and Mari, like coaxing them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We smell delicious, not bland stew.
I can't wait to try Gautier's house's cooking.
You guys are in for a real treat. Yeah,
me neither, Doran. Whatever bland or food, super flavorful food that you give us.
I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, we'll be happy.
As they start heading down, like Mari like leans over to Red. She's like, I snuck a salt cellar in my pocket. Like, she's got like a little bag of salt.
Whoa.
Can I give it a lick?
No.
What?
You can't wait. You can't lick it.
Wait, salt brick or salt
cellar? Bag, like salt.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my mom used to give me like a salt lick. It was really nice.
Oh. You make your way down into a low-ceilinged dining hall that is lit extravagantly. There are candles on the walls and on the table in front of you, but also a variety of strange phosphorescent lamps. They're all glowing different colors, blue and purple. There's an orange one nearby that's emitting this tapping sound. You can see tiny orange glowing beetles like partying inside. Ooh. Another one's full of fungus and whatever. It's very cool. And the table is heavy with food that's all laid out before you. Gautier is already sitting at the head of the table, and as you enter, he hoists a tankard in your direction. He's like, all right, come on and sit down.
All right.
Oh, cool. Ooh.
Wow, look at the feast.
Gautier, I don't want to impugn your honor as a host, but we haven't heard a single embarrassing story about Doran's youth yet.
Yeah, we could probably stand to hear at least four to five.
Come on, yeah,
totally. What does impugn mean?
Jack, I'm sure you've heard, you've seen enough embarrassing things about me. You don't need to hear more about my youth. I mean, come on.
Pull up a chair. I've got plenty of stories. Please, please, make yourselves
comfortable.
Oh, finally. And Red takes off his boots that he just put on and like, loosens his tie that he just put on and slicks his hair back to how it normally is. And he's like, oh, I've been waiting all day. And he like farts and sits down. Oh, no. That took forever to get down those stairs.
Mari's just got her head in her hands.
Yeah.
A couple other people come into the room and sit themselves amongst you as well. Two dwarven men-at-arms, one of them who led you into the house to begin with, and also a Svirfneblin, a deep gnome.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Oh,
that's a vibe.
What's your name? Red walks over to the Svirfneblin.
Yeah, he's already tucked himself into the table, and he's like taking a cloche off of a steaming platter of food, and he's helping himself.
What's a cloche? And he sits right next to the Svirfneblin. Oh, wow. Can I just say, sir, you are one of the most handsome things I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Your features are chiseled. Look at this. Mari, look how handsome this guy is.
Mari's like picking through like some food. She's like, what? Looks over.
He's handsome. Jack? Doran?
He's like, absolutely not handsome.
But Red's like enamored, like, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
if I could sculpt, I would sculpt you.
He looks like a gray potato in a hat.
You've got so many fascinating angles and curves.
I didn't know faces could wrinkle like that.
I am Thendul Rockmelter.
Wow. Nice to meet you. Are you a model?
No. I'm a merchant among my people.
Oh, do you sell paintings and things that are beautiful, like your features?
Everything I have for sale is wonderful and high quality.
Wow.
Please
look at that.
Sit. Eat.
Oh, absolutely. Red sits down and like starts into a conversation with
Gautier is like, oh, yes. Sorry, I didn't introduce my guest here. A merchant traveling friend stopped by a little while ago, and perhaps you saw some of his things.
He's handsome, Red says as he's like chewing on a potato.
In the house, or... like, have you been buying things off of him?
Yeah, in the entryway. Sorry again about the mess. Some clutter.
You guys must have a pretty productive working relationship then. Is that a big part of how you...
I haven't seen Thendul in... what's it been, Thendul?
Oh, perhaps 5 years, sir.
What a singing voice, too. This guy is the whole package.
Just a real hand talker. Real spooky hand talker, this guy is.
Yeah. He does.
It's really bringing something out of you, Joe. I
don't... He's got like a big body for a... he's probably 3.5 feet tall, but like kind of a big body.
Foot long.
But really hand. Spindly arms.
His fingers are like a foot long.
Yeah, he's just...
his
whole...
hi.
Yeah, scary potato.
It's like a salad
it's
fingers.
Like Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah, Red's attentions are making him blush purple under his gray skin.
Wow.
Is there a Mrs. Red?
Oh, no, not interested that way. Just an admirer.
Doran sidles up next to Gautier and pulls his seat in.
Yeah.
And really, without any hesitation, reaches forward and starts gathering food and puts it on the plate in front of him and starts chowing down and through conversation.
Oh, I'm starving, Gautier. I have to tell you, you know, I wasn't sure what kind of reception I'd have coming back home, and to be totally clear with you, I actually thought that there was some other reason why I wasn't allowed into the city. Your guard was very fair in telling me that everybody was sick, but, you know, had I not asked, I thought maybe that we were barred. Regardless, it is good to see you, friend. Uncle. Cousin.
What is his name? Cousin? He's my cousin, right?
Cousin.
It is good to see you, friend.
Friend, uncle, cousin. Is just a colloquialism down here.
And so good to see you too, Doran. It's been, I mean, what? 28 years?
Yep, about that. About 30 years since I took off to join the wars.
40 maybe?
Yeah.
He claps you on the shoulder and then like reaches a spoon into this huge plate full of like white eels in red sauce,
yeah.
And just like scoops you a big eel.
Oh. Dwarven spaghetti.
I can't believe what you've put out for us. And Doran sort of refers to the food on the table and then pointing back towards where they came from, the rooms. I really can't thank you enough for your hospitality. I mean, this really does mean so much to me and my my companions here. You know, we just happen to be passing through, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, Cousin Jolgas said that he saw you about a 10-day ago.
Yes, that's right.
And that you were planning to come back to see your mother. So I kind of thought, like, maybe you would be on your way.
Well, I'll have to make sure I see Jolgas while I'm here. Has he stayed in town, or has he left?
Well, no, because of the rock plague, yeah. We just sent him back on his way.
I was wondering about that. When do you think any of us will be able to go back into the city without fear of catching the rock plague?
Perhaps a couple of days.
I feel like Red's just prattling on with this Svirf Neblin, and he just like shouts out every once in a while. He's like, did you know he sells stone? What was it?
Shadwax.
Stone Shadwax. Jack, do you need those? Do we need more Shadwax?
I sell vegetarian and non-vegetarian soaps.
Wow. Versions of the soaps that could be vegetarian or non... Wait.
That's concerning.
We don't use a lot of soap, to my chagrin.
But we could use more.
I agree.
Probably. And Shadwax. We'll take a few, I guess.
Ilk sap.
Of course. Yes.
Red's like kind of being sold, and you can see Red like starting to getting hot in here, and he's like taking sips of wine.
We had an ilk sap drink at some point, didn't we?
You have had ilk sap before.
I don't remember if it was good or bad is the problem.
Prango sold it to you.
Mari's just watching this happen because she's sort of been like paying attention to Doran and Gautier, but she's now hears Red being like, yeah, I'd like that. And she's just grabs like a tiny fork and just sort of puts her hand on the table and just stabs him in the side of the leg.
And I turn to her and I'm like, I'm trying to get out of this. He's wheedling me in. He's got some sort of charm over me. I think it's magic. He's charming me with his good looks. Look.
And Red like leans back and you have a clear shot of this guy again. Yeah. Like flies are buzzing. It's like a Ren and Stimpy shot. Yeah. And I was like really zoomed in.
And he comes back. He's like, what am I supposed to say to that?
Gently excuse yourself from the conversation if you need to.
Okay, I gotta go! Red stands up and like pushes out and just like walks 5 feet away and leans against the wall panting for a second.
I think I'm gonna sit down with the two dwarven men at arms and sort of introduce myself as, you know, I'm Jack Page. I didn't catch your guys' names.
Oh, me?
No, I didn't prepare for this.
I'd never had a name before.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was like there's three other people who join you. I was like, okay, great.
I always hate when people ask me these questions.
Joe,
like, how? I don't know. It's how rude of us to not stop in and like I was like, oh no, we've missed an opportunity because we just talked over her with this gnome shit. We never got to these other two characters she's created with such care
as far
and craft
as the Svirf Neblin, and I was like, that's all I need.
And you know what? I know we'll her do well it live. Enough that I jumped in to make sure no one had.
Well,
to.
I've fallen for
classic Joe. Best has three characters Jack. And thinks of one of their name.
Sorry.
The one guy turns to you, Jack, and he's like,
"Oh, I'm Valdrik."
Stutter over my own name. Valdrik is what they used to call me.
Valdrik Stutter,
in the kindergarten.
Valdrik, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Jack Page, hey.
That's me, yep.
So what's your deal, Jack?
He's like sullenly shoveling porridge into a bowl.
I mean,
this must be the bland stew that you'd heard so much about.
I'm from Waterdeep. I'm an archaeologist. Definitely that. Everything else up in the air at the moment. Is that the bland stew?
This? Yeah, you could say this is the bland stew, all right. And he looks secretively over at you and starts stirring it slowly.
Ooh. Doran stops his conversation with Gautier to interrupt that conversation. He leans over and says, but it's not the same bland stew that I was talking about, Jack.
No, I get it's not like your mom
that
made.
That one's for my mother.
I mean...
Okay. I just gotta make sure that's clear.
Red like walks back over and is like, it's not as good. And he nods like curtly and like supportively to Doran.
That's right. Mm, yeah.
I did a good job. Then he sits back down between Mari and the guy.
I don't know if you know much about bland stew, though.
He takes a slow bite, staring at you the whole time.
I'm dying to try it.
Are you?
Mari's like, she's looked up and she's like, do it.
Yes.
Do it.
It I
can't wait to be bored.
My partner runs a restaurant, and I've just heard about this for a long time from Doran. I've tasted lots of things. I'd love to have a spoonful.
I don't think you're ready.
Well, now I'm going to just take the bowl from across the table if you're going to challenge me. Not his bowl, but hopefully there's another one that...
There's like a... Yeah. He's like got a like an individual... It's like a small cauldron sitting just to his left.
Yeah, okay.
That he's like coveting.
I stand up and take advantage of my gangly half-elf arms to reach across this small dwarven table and stick a spoon into the bland stew and pop it right in my mouth.
Roll a dexterity saving throw, Jack.
You lose a finger. 14.
You shit your pants.
Oh, I rolled a natural one.
Hey! Oh, nice.
Valdrick, stutter over his own name, Valdrick, reaches out to try to grab your hand as you go for the stew and misses.
Spoon. He
puts his hand right in the ass of the chicken.
Spoon in my mouth.
The chicken there?
I take two steps back to be behind Red.
I got you, buddy. Red
blocks. He turns around and stands up. And then sort of like shakes his head like, no, he ain't worth it.
Do it.
Sits back down.
Do it, Jack. How does it taste? And the whole room goes quiet.
I couldn't describe it. There just aren't words this neutral.
Like
true neutral.
True neutral,
would you say?
Oh, my God.
There.
You've made a powerful enemy this day, man-at-arms.
Gautier shakes his head and whispers something under his breath. Doran, that sounds sort of like... Shouldn't have done that.
You've made a powerful enemy. Good job, Jack. Good job. Red patch on the back.
Yeah. Now that he's kind of given the like, it's not worth it kind of vibe, I might try and sneak my way back into the chair at the table and not just be like standing up cowering behind Red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I sit down too. Can I try some of that too, man at arms?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. Red picks up a spoon and tries it. Bland.
His name's Valdrick.
Ah, whatever. Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S. Dippity, Elizabeth H., Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, J.D., Joy Robinson, Jory, K.R., K.M., Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J., Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C., Reagan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House.
Woo!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.